and some people said, you talk too fast. We're kindergartners. So I just want to refocus us, point us due north, like on the compass point, make sure that we all know why I'm up here. Joe asked me to speak a little bit about the times and seasons, the timing of God. God's calendar is not understood by most of us because we didn't grow up in a Jewish home. God has a year. God has months. God has seasons. And God has days. So what I'm trying to do with this little 15-minute segment is focus on what's important for this particular season. Right now we're in the spring, obviously. And Jesus said, you're not going to know the day or the hour that I'm coming back, but you're going to know the season. So we all should know a little bit about the times, the seasons, the days, the months, and the years of God. So right now I'm focusing on Pentecost because Pentecost is coming up in 2 weeks, and it has a deeper significance than I believe. I may be wrong, but then I believe we've been taught by nominal Christianity. Now, I've only been a member of this church 3 years, so you guys may have been taught things that I wasn't taught in this church. But I'm just going to go on the assumption that you weren't taught some of the things that I know, and we're just going to start on this comparison of what the children of Israel were doing when they were camped at Mount Sinai, which was approximately 40 days after they had got their liberation, their Passover from Egypt. They traveled, and I told you that last week. They traveled. They went through experiences. Then on about the 40th day, if you look in Exodus 19:1, it'll tell you that they arrived in the wilderness or the desert of Sinai, which was right by the mountain where God was going to give the Ten Commandments. And when you compare the things that happened at Mount Sinai to what happened on the day of Pentecost, we will see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 similarities. Who remembers what the number 10 symbolizes? 10 is God's divine order. It's also a witness for God. Okay, so does anyone remember what the number 40 represents in Scripture? Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is a significant number. Trials. So the children of Israel have been going through some trials. The disciples have been going through some trials for 40 days. And who remembers what happened on the 40th day with the disciples? 40 days after Jesus? No. Yes, the ascension. Jesus ascended up into heaven on the 40th day, and then that's when he said, don't go anywhere, don't leave Jerusalem, camp out here. So we have the Israelites camping out. Similarly, we have the disciples sort of camping out in Jerusalem. So there, that's a similarity. Now, then for 10 days between day 40 and day 50, what's going on? There's kind of a change coming. Jesus is gone. What are the disciples doing? Well, they replaced Judas, remember, in the book of Acts. What else are the disciples doing? They're studying scriptures. Jesus has been proving his resurrection to them, his sonship. Jesus has been showing them things in the scripture, and they've been studying these things. So for 10 days, their nose is right in the scripture. What are the children of Israel doing in the desert from day 40 till Pentecost? They are preparing to receive. They don't know what. All they know is Moses has told them, I'm going to be going up into the mountain, kind of like Jesus going up into the heavens. Moses is going to go up into the mountain. And he said, in 3 days, prepare yourself, purify yourselves, wash your clothes, don't sleep with your husband or wife, purify your life, focus your mind. So there's a test, I don't know if it's a testing, but you might say there's a purification process. Now, in our year and day right now, which is 5772 of the Hebrew calendar, right now, our day 40 is going to be May 17th. And then for the next 10 days, we will have those same 10 days before the day of Pentecost. So what I'd like to do is just show you. Oh, by the way, in the number 50 for Pentecost in Scripture represents redemption, restoration. And if you remember, the year of Jubilee was the 50th year. What happened on the year of Jubilee? All debts forgiven, all slaves set free, and land. What happened to the land? Yes, it went back to the original owner. So 50 is a significant number, and the disciples knew that. And so did the Christians who celebrated Pentecost and Passover too, after the death of Christ. If you read some of the historical documents, Eusebius, Josephus, Pliny, Tacitus, I can't remember anymore, but those guys who were writing like about 160 AD to about 322, the Christians were all celebrating the, quote, Jewish feast days. Because they weren't Jewish, they were God's. And so I want us to kind of get into a different mindset as we kind of think about what they would have been thinking about. They knew that that the Jews received the Ten Commandments, the testimony, witness of God, on the 50th day. So now it's going to be the 50th day, Pentecost. All these Jews from all over the place, all over, it says in the book of Acts, under heaven, are coming to keep the feast because that was commanded, and they are anticipating something. Well, if I won't scream through the scriptures this time, like I did last time, but if I can make a copy of my scriptures, if any of you want them afterwards, I want to just give you the comparisons. Mount Sinai, it says that Moses came down from the mountain in the morning. Does anyone remember when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples? What time of the day? We know it was Pentecost day, but do we know what time? Third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. Morning. Is that a coincidence? No, probably not. The mountain smoked, had loud thunder, the sound of a trumpet, loud noises, and then was filling the house a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Again, another similarity, giving of the law on tables of stone. Now the law is going to be given on the tablets of our heart, according to the prophets Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Deuteronomy 33:2 says, a fiery law went forth out of Sinai. Fiery words, fiery law. What do we think of? What happened with fire on the day of Pentecost with the disciples? Tongues of fire. Woo! I'll have little bunny ears up here. Okay. The words or the commandments are often called the 10 words by the Jews, but they're the 10 commandments were given on Mount Sinai. What were the disciples speaking? They weren't speaking the 10 commandments, but they were speaking words. Fiery words. So again, we see a similarity. Words. Okay. It says in Psalm 68, 17 and 18, that God gave gifts to men. When he came down on Mount Sinai, he gave gifts to men. Moses prophesied. Bezalel, remember, had a wonderful knowledge to do this great cunning workmanship to build the tabernacle. These different people were given gifts so that they could accomplish what they needed to do to build God's tabernacle in the wilderness, whether it was embroidery, whether it was casting the rings, whether it was setting up the poles, whether it was setting jewelry and stones, whatever it was, God gave gifts to men. So we're seeing in the physical, but now in Pentecost, in Acts, we're seeing into the spiritual. What happened? It says in Ephesians 4:8, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Again, not a coincidence. Next, on the golden calf incident, which was also Mount Sinai, Exodus 32:28, it says that 3,000 souls were lost. If you remember, the earth opened up. They fell in because of the golden calf. Do you all remember that? How many souls were saved on the day of Pentecost? 3,000. Coincidence? No. In Exodus 34:10, it says that God showed forth signs and wonders to his people on the day that he gave forth the law. Signs and wonders were done by the disciples from that moment forward. It says great signs and wonders were performed by them. Another similarity. You will be my witnesses. Who said that? You will be my witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Who said that? Jesus. But before he had ever said it, God told the children of Israel, you are my witnesses. 10, witness to the divine order of God. As we come into the understanding these things with more depth, more clarity, God's going to start giving us revelation about things we hadn't even maybe thought about before. That is so exciting. We need to understand these things. Okay, we have two more things. When they entered, when they got the Ten Commandments, right then they were supposed to enter the new land and go and conquer their enemies. But we know they didn't. They didn't have faith. But they were supposed to. Exodus 33, 2 and 3 says, I want you to go in now. Conquer the land. You've got my commandments. You've got my revelation of who I am as a God who heals you, who provides for you, who gives you power, who subdues your enemies. I am Yahweh. I'm the ever-living one. But they didn't go in. Jesus says, I'm going to take you into new places, new heavenly places. You're going to fight against your enemies and you're going to prevail. You are going to drive out spiritual darkness in high places. Acts 1 and 8, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. There's a battle. Last of all, God's presence rested on that tabernacle in the wilderness. And we know it did from several things, the cloud. And we know when Solomon built his temple, there was so much anointing, the priests couldn't even minister. The anointing of God fell in a physical, tangible way. And now we are God's temple. That spirit is inside of us. That power, that anointing, that glory, that revelation. We have access to the beauty, the glory, the knowledge, the wonder, the power of God because of the day of Pentecost. We're walking in that. Oh, that is just so awesome. So those are the things I wanted to show you today, the comparisons between Old Testament receiving the law. And people put down the law a lot of times. Oh, the law, it can't save you. No, it can't, but it can teach you about the character of God. It can tell you right from wrong. It can enlighten your mind. It can do a lot of things. No, it can't save you. You know, we live in a house. A house can't save us, but it sure is nice to have one. And that's how the law of God is. And the more you focus and concentrate and try to understand the laws of God, you'll gain understanding of who God is and what his glory is all about, what he's got coming in the future for us. You know, all the spring days, feast days, Passover, unleavened bread, and Pentecost have now been fulfilled. What about the fall? They haven't been fulfilled. And you know what? I'm just going to give you a taste. Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month, is the day when a king comes back and he gets crowned over his kingdom. Does that make any revelation start burning in your spirit? Amen. Thank you all.